Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Thursday to you all. Man, this week has just flown by, right? Can't believe that it's already just a day away from the weekend. Well, as I always like to say to start the hour, thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I am the captain of this ship, Al Martin, and we've got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. We will recap what we saw from John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team last night at Chrysler Center, just bringing it to Roy Williams and North Carolina. Didn't know this. North Carolina's first ever trip to Ann Arbor. How about that? And at first, it looked like the Tar Heels were going to, you know, continue to stretch that big lead that they began the game with, and then something just clicked. And I think what we're seeing right now is a shift in the John Beilein era to one of not just great offense that puts an emphasis on ball movement and shots from beyond the arc, but defense. John Beilein's Wolverines know how to play defense right now, and it's pretty scary what we're seeing happen out in Ann Arbor. Pretty impressive stuff. Got a chance to check that game out in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which, by the way, I mean, this may be the most entertaining Big Ten ACC Challenge we've ever seen. It ended in a 7-7 tie. I mean, with the exception of like two games, pretty much every game was very, very close, folks. So we'll recap that game last night, and I'll give you my thoughts on the maize and blue moving forward, and also a broad look at the Big Ten and men's college basketball. Should be one of, if not the most entertaining conference to check out throughout this year. Also, we'll briefly touch on the college football playoff. As speaking of Michigan, right, the Michigan Wolverines, which were ranked in the top four in the playoff last week, of course, with that loss to Ohio State on Saturday, have fallen a bit. But we'll give thoughts and predictions on how we think this whole thing will play out as we have championship week upon us, as this weekend multiple conference championship games will take place that will further aid some teams in the conversation of solidifying a spot in the college football playoff, or it could hurt a few teams. Who knows? We'll see, right? Also, excited to have this man a part of the hour, Steve Finnemore, head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team, formerly of East Lansing. We'll talk with Steve about how the year has began for his Big Reds, and we'll also just pick the basketball mind that is Steve Finnemore. I mean, I don't know any other dude in the world that watches, probably with the exception of those in the collegiate ranks and those who get paid for it in the pros. I don't know any other dude, though, who watches as much basketball as Steve Finnemore. So I just want to pick his brain on a few interesting topics in the world of hoops and beyond. And we will have Throwback Thursday for you, as we customarily do each and every Thursday, when we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred on this particular date in sports history. It is November 29th, and you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
We'll be right back.
want to start here with some news that broke a few hours ago. And it's been circulating and causing a wave of conversation here locally. George Perlis, former Michigan State University football coach and athletic director, he has resigned from the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. Board Chairman Brian Breslin made that announcement today. The vacancy will be filled by Governor Rick Snyder, Breslin said. In his resignation letter, Perlis cited health issues as the reason for stepping down, saying, quote, "At age 84, my mobility is compromised, and I live with the effects of Parkinson's every day. The ramifications of my health issues continue to grow. I have been blessed with a wife who has sacrificed much to tend to my needs and to provide constant care. At this juncture, I feel that Sally deserves some respite. We need to make our life smaller as we age and consider our quality of life. Our family has bled green and white for the better part of our lives. It's time to step back and allow the next generation to carry the MSU torch." Again, for the full statement from Perlis, we actually have that story leading on our website right now at WKAR.org, or you can check it out at Facebook.com/WKAR News. But again, Michigan State University trustee George Perlis has resigned at the age of 84. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team. What a performance by Susie Merchant's team last night inside of the Breslin Center. The freshman trio of Kayla Bellis, Nia Clouden, and Tori Osment all scored in double figures as the Michigan State women's hoop squad stopped Virginia 91-66 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last night at the Brez. This was the first win for the Spartans in the ACC Big Ten Challenge since 2014, so 4 years ago, when MSU came from behind to beat Georgia Tech in overtime, 79-73 in that matchup. This was also the largest margin of victory in a challenge game for MSU. With the dub, Susie Merchant's team improves to 5-1 on the year. Virginia falls to 2-5. Also joining me for these current sports quick hit headliners are, of course, engineer behind the glass, Alec Rio, and current sports PA and reporter, Justin Frommer. And Justin, you have more on the aforementioned Michigan win at Chrysler Center last night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. What happened?
And it was, as you mentioned before, it was just a dominant showing on both sides of the ball. Offensively, the freshman that we've been talking about on a couple shows, Iggy Brezdikas, going off again for the Wolverines, 24 points on 9 of 13 shooting. Charles Matthews had another big game as well. And defensively, held North Carolina to under 40% shooting from the floor, or just about 30% shooting from behind the arc. And that's what Michigan's been the past couple of years, is just locking down good teams and converting on the other end of the court. And I just got a couple stats for you. I want you to hear this about Michigan. Ready? In their last 22 games, Michigan is 21-1. They have 17 wins versus top 100 teams, 10 wins versus top 50 teams, 7 wins versus top 25 teams, and 3 wins versus top 10 teams. They beat Michigan State multiple times. They beat Villanova on their home court. They beat Ohio State. They beat Purdue multiple times. And now they beat North Carolina. That only loss in their last 22 games was the national championship game.
That's amazing. I mean, John Beilein, you got to give him props. I mean, what we're seeing right now from Michigan, you know, as I mentioned, this isn't just an offensive juggernaut anymore. This is a team that prides itself on defense. When I was watching Xavier Simpson and Charles Matthews last night, you know, Jordan Poole, I mean, these guys,
top to bottom,
from top to bottom, man, it is very impressive what the Wolverines are doing. And you mentioned those historic stats there. I mean, I think right now it's safe to say, Justin, and we made this point last year, I know Spartan fans don't want to hear it, but right now Michigan has the better college basketball program. No longer is it Michigan State. Now, it's still early. It's November 29th, for goodness sake. A lot can happen between now and March, but you would be fooling yourself to evaluate what we've seen in the last, even the last two seasons up until now, Justin. You will be fooling yourself
if you still believe that Michigan State is still the top dog in the state when it comes to college hoops.
And I, as you mentioned, it is still early. It's still November. But other than maybe Gonzaga and Duke and maybe Kansas, I'd argue Michigan's a top three team, top three, top four team right now.
With the way they're playing? I think if they play Duke, if they play, you know, Gonzaga, you know, Kansas, they would give those teams a run for their money. I'm not saying they'll beat them. Those teams are supremely talented, without a doubt. Michigan is as well. It'll be close, especially with the defense they play.
And looking ahead, you know, looking back at the past couple of years, that John Beilein gets this team hot in March. This team's going to be a factor when it comes down to it.
Exactly. We'll have more on that Michigan performance from last night in just a moment. Scott Loeffler has been hired as Bowling Green State University's next head football coach. The university made that announcement yesterday morning. Loeffler comes from Boston College, where he spent the last three seasons as the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Loeffler played quarterback at Michigan from 93 to 96 and began his coaching career there as a student assistant when his playing days were cut short due to injury. And after two seasons as a student assistant, Loeffler was a grad assistant for the Wolverines from 98 to 99. He was the QB coach at Central for the next 2 years before returning to coach the same position at Michigan from 2002 to 2007. And this is a name that I'm sure Michigan State fans were familiar with not too long ago. His name was riddled with controversy because I believe he was an MSU commit, right, Justin?
He was, yeah, he was.
He was an MSU commit, and then he was just a kid who just couldn't stay out of trouble. And I know he was caught on film, the whole cell phone situation with his girlfriend, and it was just ugly. And I got a chance to meet this young man as well. But that young man we're talking about is former MSU commit Jayrue Campbell, who was quite the talent in high school when it comes to playing the quarterback position. Some good news for him, Justin.
Yeah, and the situation he was in, getting in trouble in high school, was very unfortunate. And we all love our redemption stories and getting back to the top when you're down. And Jayrue Campbell is one of those right now.
Yeah.
He is one of nine finalists for the 2018 Harlan Hill Trophy. That is the trophy for Division II's College Football Player of the Year, putting up monster numbers at Ferris State right now. Almost 2,500 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions in 12 games. Ferris State's mowing their way through the D2 playoffs right now. They got a game on Saturday at 2 p.m. against Ouachita Baptist in Arkansas.
Okay.
And that game's at 2 p.m. It's the quarterfinals of the Division II playoffs. And they've just been rolling with Jayrue.
It's amazing what he's doing. I mean, 23 touchdowns, you know, 5 interceptions in 12 games. It is very impressive stuff. And, yeah, we love a good comeback story. I remember seeing the fight, you know, and the argument with his coaches on the sidelines and the body slamming of the bodyguard and, you know, the video I just mentioned. But now this kid, I mean, we all knew that Jayrue Campbell is he was a talent. He still is a talent, as we're seeing right now. And, you know, it looks as though he's under the right guidance now, and that's good for the young man.
And seeing the numbers that he's putting up now, it makes you wonder a little bit what he could be doing with Michigan State if he was here.
Oh, my goodness. Just thinking about the quarterback situation right now with Rocky Lombardi and Brian LaWorre. Let's not even go on that rant right now, right? But, well, Jayrue would have graduated, right? I mean,
I'm pretty sure he was the same class as Brian LaWorre.
Was he? Yeah, man. Okay. What could have been, right? All right. Trinity High School canceled classes today because of a threat against the school due to Jeff Brohm deciding to remain at Purdue. Trinity High School is located in Louisville. School officials were notified of the alleged threat by police. The school said in a statement on Wednesday, offices would be closed today and classes would be conducted online. St. Matthew's Police Chief Barry Wilkerson told the Courier-Journal late Wednesday night that the threats were made on Twitter and referenced burning down the school. He said Trinity made the decision to close. Brohm graduated from Trinity High School in 1989 and played quarterback before attending the University of Louisville. So just some idiots on Twitter. That's the world we live in today. It just never ceases to amaze me how many idiots live in this world. All right. The Detroit Lions. The Lions announced cornerback and return man Jamal Agnew is returning to practice. Agnew remains ineligible to play in a game until Detroit's Week 15 trip to Buffalo. A first-team All-Pro punt returner as a rookie. Last year, Agnew has been on injured reserve since mid-October with a knee injury of his own. He suffered the injury defending a long pass in the end zone against the Green Bay Packers. All right, behind the glass, Alec Rio engineering the show today. Alec, you have some news when it comes to what occurred last night between the Detroit Red Wings and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, so the Red Wings got a much-needed win over the St. Louis Blues last night, 4-3. This win broke a three-game losing streak that happened right after they were, like, the hottest team for about 2 weeks. They won, like, 9 of their last 12. And so rookie Tyler Bertuzzi was the hero, scoring 2 goals, including the game winner, with just 6:53 remaining left. Jimmy Howard had 33 saves on 36 shots. Andreas Athanasiou with another goal. And a nice little fun fact, Tyler Bertuzzi scored the game-winning goal exactly 9 years to the date after his uncle, Todd Bertuzzi, scored the game-winning goal in a shootout against the same exact team.
What?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Crazy stat.
You can't tell me destiny isn't a thing, right? That's nuts.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And another stat to look forward to, of the 70 goals that the Red Wings have scored this season, 46 of them have been scored by the young guns, including Athanasiou, Dylan Larkin, Rasmussen, and Anthony Mantha. The young core that Ken Holland's been recruiting has been putting in the work, and I'm excited to see what Philip Zadina, Joe Valeno. Valeno, I know, has been on a tear recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And same thing with Zadina, and I'm really excited to see what they have.
I tell you what, the young pups are growing up, right? And I tell you what, it's quite the contrast to the conversation that we had earlier this season discussing the Detroit Red Wings. They have been resuscitated in a way. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Wings with the win there. All right, Justin, you have some news when it comes to how about them Cowboys? If you're watching the live stream right now, you know I'm rocking my Dallas Cowboys hoodie. I am so pumped for tonight. I have been waiting for this game since Thanksgiving, since we got that dub on Thanksgiving Day. My Cowboys are going to get the win tonight, but who do they play, Justin?
Your Cowboys will be taking the loss tonight, by the way, to the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are just too good of a team for the Cowboys. Although,
hey.
Although Thanksgiving, that was a different Cowboys offense that we saw, because Zeke Elliott has been a different player these past couple weeks. He's just been a monster in the backfield. And the Cowboys finally got that outside threat with Amari Cooper going.
He looked great.
He had a huge game against the Redskins. Yep. And just talking about that NFC East race right now with the Cowboys and the Redskins both sitting atop at 6-5. You got the Giants who are out of it, and then the Eagles not looking like the same team.
The NFC East is so bad.
It's wide open, especially with Alex Smith's injury for the Redskins.
Yeah.
And just looking at the Cowboys' remaining schedule, you got home against the Saints and the Eagles these next 2 weeks, at Indianapolis, and then home against Tampa before finishing out at the Giants. That's four winnable games there. And at one time, the Cowboys were written off, and that wasn't too long ago. That was 3-4 weeks ago.
Right.
They could be in the playoffs in 6 weeks.
I'm holding on to hope. And, you know, I will be talking a lot of crap tonight to my former engineer, Isaac Constance, who's from born and raised in New Orleans. And, the Saints look great. They are a Super Bowl contending team. I'm just going with my heart here, guys. All right, let a brother live. How about them Cowboys? Thank you for that, Justin. And to close things out, the Hero World Challenge got underway today. It's always fun checking this one out. Again, it's not on the PGA Tour. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, just cool to see some of the top names in golf go at it during the cold months of November and December, right? Tiger Woods teed off a little after noon today. He is 1-over through 3. Keegan Bradley leads the field at 3-under through 7. Xander Shoffley, he is 2-under through 6. He is also tied with Patrick Reed, 2-under through 2. So there you have that. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Every loose ball.
And with one on the shot clock, Matthews takes advantage.
He's 11. Kenny Williams has only made one basket. Some of the key guys for Carolina.
As that's going to go down, and Jordan Poole is feeling it right now. Too strong.
And he's wide open.
Johnson, and a chance for three as he goes end to end. All right.
I don't think you want that.
No. Careful what you wish for. Cameron Johnson knocks down a three, his second bucket of the night.
What a positive PR, baby. Jamar, the free press, the news, and the loaded with... Oh, that is just the fun. Are you serious? It's been amazing, Blue Knight.
And the other, what an impressive performance by the Michigan Wolverines.
A-plus. Dr. V, I give him an A-plus.
They played a heck of a lot better than we did. They coached a heck of a lot better than we did. It's very frustrating right now. As a coach, I feel like I've done the worst job with this team in 31 years as a head coach. But give Michigan the credit. They got tougher. They made the tougher plays. They shoot 50-something percent in the second half. We shoot 32. Give up a three at the last second where we run down the court and don't guard the best shooter in the corner, which we talk about, so the coach is not getting the job done with this team. Very frustrated, not as frustrated as I've ever, no, the most frustrated I've ever been. So right now we stink. And we work on a screen on the ball every day, and three plays in a row they set a screen in the middle of the court and dunk it or lay it up. Guys, I got no positive things. If you want some positive things, you better go out and find somebody on the street, because I got no positive for me, no positives for my team.
Oh, head coach Roy Williams, tell us how you really feel. I got no positives. You want positives, go find Joe Schmo on the street. Roy Williams noted that that was the most disappointed he's been in 31 years during that job. Amazing, right? I mean, the Michigan Wolverines, I know, it's early. It's very early. It's November, for goodness sake. We have not even turned the clock, the year, the calendar to 2019 yet. There is still a lot of basketball left to be played. And can I keep it all the way real with Wolverine fans out there who are listening right now? You needed this. You needed this really, really bad. Many of you just down and out, you know, depressed, didn't want to talk to anybody, just, you know, in your room, in the corner, crying after what happened on Saturday against Ohio State on the gridiron, blowing up those hopes that Jim Harbaugh was finally going to find directions to Indianapolis, Indiana, playing in a Big Ten championship game. Ohio State and Urban Meyer just ripping your heart right from your chest. You needed something to smile about, anything to bring those hopes up. And thank goodness for John Beilein. John Beilein has been the light at the end of a very dark tunnel in comparison to your college football program, which needs a lot of help. You know, you can rest assured that John Beilein is going to deliver for you guys, at least in recent years, right? I mean, it's quite remarkable. I mean, never would I have thought to have said that Michigan is turning into a basketball school. And that's what we're seeing right now. Now, how I define basketball school, no, I'm not saying that, you know, it's because I still think Michigan at its core, without a doubt, is a football school. I mean, no matter what the record is, you guys are going to show up and go to the Big House and pack out the Big House, no matter what the record is. I mean, you're still, tradition-wise, when looking at history, the most winningest college football program in the history of the sport. Story tradition there. So you're not, you know, just... You know, looking at John Beilein, you're not in the blink of an eye due to the fact that you are winning now on the hardwood, you know, winning Big Ten tournament championships, competing
for regular season Big Ten championships, going to two national championship games. You're not just going to completely flip the switch to becoming a basketball school now due to that. It's going to take a lot more than that. But it's still impressive. And that's your only hope right now. I mean, what John Beilein is doing, you got to feel good about it. You know, for a moment, last night, you were able to feel good about one of your major sports, that being college basketball. And you have been able to feel pretty good about this program for a while now. And you got to give all the credit in the world to John Beilein and his coaching staff. Because I sat on my couch and watched that North Carolina and Michigan game last night. And this is North Carolina, folks. I mean, this is a team that's, you know, the number 11 team in the nation. They've got some horses for North Carolina. Very talented team. And Michigan blows them out 84-67? You can't ignore that. I know Spartan fans as much as you want to, because Spartan fans are still licking the wounds from what happened now 2 days ago on the road in Louisville. As much as you want to ignore this win for those out in A-squared, you just can't. And the big reason why for me is what I mentioned during our headliners, the defense. This is a defensive foundation, and this is why you got to give a lot of credit to John Beilein. I can't say this enough. I can't stress this enough. John Beilein was willing to hire assistant coach Luke Yeklich, bring him in to totally revamp and inject new life into how the Michigan Wolverines play defense. And now U of M has this really just an emphasis on playing defense, on enjoying playing defense, and it is frustrating teams left and right. You know, Beilein noted after the game yesterday, Luke Yeklich says, "We are going to contest shots with every fiber of our being." He actually says that, and we do. Direct quote from John Beilein last night, and you saw it. Probably my favorite play of the game from last night, Charles Matthews. He was matched up in the second half with Leaky Black. Leaky Black, you know, he's a freshman guard, very talented freshman guard, I might add. But Leaky Black had the basketball, and it looked like he had a clear path going to his left. But Charles Matthews somehow, you know, he shuffled his feet really quick, and Leaky went up for a layup, and Charles elevated at the drop of a dime and swatted the basketball out of bounds. And you saw the Michigan bench get up. They were pumped up. You know, Charles Matthews is amped. He's looking at the crowd. Xavier Simpson runs over. You know, he's amped up. I mean, this team loves playing defense, and they're pretty good at it as well. And, you know, you can make an argument right now that, you know, when looking at the combination of Xavier Simpson and Charles Matthews defensive-wise, that may be the best defensive combo in the conference, guard-wise, guard tandem-wise. Very impressive what they were able to do, you know, forcing North Carolina into turnovers, you know, forcing tough shots and tough looks, contesting everything. This is a team that is going to contend deep in March, I think. I know that's a strong statement to say right now, right? It's November 29th, Al. You're crazy. A lot of things can happen between now and March. I know that. But John Beilein has shown consistency throughout this, what, five-year stretch of basketball. And John Beilein has shown a willingness to evolve. You know, he knows that, all right, my team is lacking in defense. All right, let me hire a guy who has a great defensive mind and who is going to help in that area. Let's bring Yeklich on the assistant coaching crew. And John Beilein's offense has always been ahead of its time. You know, it's fast-paced. It's move the ball around the perimeter. It's, you know, hoist up a three early in the shot clock. It's how the modern-day game of basketball is today. Very impressive stuff. Justin, I can't ignore this. I as much as I want to, and again, you know, Tom Izzo was made available to the media yesterday. And, you know, Tom you know, you could just kind of tell when looking at his face as he talked to the media, he's still sour about a game in which they should have won, unranked Louisville. They were down a man in Matt McQuaid, but this is an unranked Louisville team that I don't know how good they really are. I don't know if what we saw against Michigan State, if that's going to be the team that we see throughout the college basketball year with them. Bottom line, Michigan State should have won that game. And you know, as I stated during our headliners, man, right now, this 7-0 Michigan Wolverines team, coupled with the fact that we've seen consistent great play from the Wolverines in these recent years, and they own Michigan State last season. Michigan right now is the best college basketball team in the state. They own the state right now. It's hard to say that, but they own the state right now, Justin.
I completely agree, and it's not the fact that Michigan State lost to Louisville that makes this a fact. It's more of the postseason factor for me is which team is making runs in March right now and which team isn't. Mm-hmm. And that's been the argument for Michigan State fans in Tom Izzo's career, is that when it matters most, Tom Izzo is going to have his team ready to make a run in March. And over the past 4 or 5 years, it's been flipped.
Yeah, it certainly has. The script has been totally flipped. I want to get your thoughts. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can weigh in there. Ben is already weighing in. Ben says Michigan won't win the national title. Duke will win the national title this year. I think that Duke is the best all-around team in college basketball this year, hands down, without a doubt. Ben, I'm not comparing Michigan basketball to Duke basketball. That's another level for me. I think Duke right now is just, oh my goodness, Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. Oh, that team looks so good.
It's like the Alabama of basketball.
They are.
They're just honestly ranked above everyone else, and like, I don't see anyone, especially in March, I just don't see how anyone can compete.
I agree. And the thing is, now, the only thing I can say here, you know, when it comes to college basketball, the beauty of the tournament, right? It's about matchups.
Weird
it's about
happen.
The draw. Weird things happen. When you're playing in a one-and-done tournament, crazy things happen. You know, you catch a team on a bad night. You know, you may have an off-shooting night one night. All it takes is a few mistakes. And you're kaput. You're out. I'll go back to, what was that, like 3 years ago when John Calipari had that highly touted, undefeated Kentucky team coming into the tournament. And then what happened to them, right? I don't think they got to the national title game. Did they get to the national title game?
No, they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. That was their only loss.
Because Michigan State was also there. Exactly. I mean, crazy things happen, folks. It's the beauty of March Madness.
When Duke had Jabari Parker and they thought they were going to win national, they lost in the first round to Mercer.
Exactly. And then Michigan State and Middle Tennessee State, right? I mean, it's all about matchups. It's all about the draw. It's all about, you know, can you continue to play consistent ball? That's the beauty of one and done. But again, Ben, it's hard to argue that Duke won't when looking at the talent and how they're playing right now. I totally get it, and it's Coach K, right? But I'm not comparing Michigan basketball to Duke basketball. I'm just, right now, when it comes to the battle of the state, Michigan is that deal right now, and it is hard to argue otherwise. So now we enter, you know, and again, this Big Ten ACC challenge was so fun to watch. Maybe the best we've ever seen. 7-7, you know, a 7-7 tie. Michigan now moves on to interconference play against Purdue this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. That one can be viewed on ESPN. And, of course, Michigan State will play Rutgers this Friday at 6 p.m. You can catch that one on the Big Ten Network.
How about Rutgers last night getting a big-time road win at Miami against Jim Larrañaga and his crew?
That's not going to be an easy win for Michigan State, Justin.
We saw what happened last year when Michigan State went into Rutgers. Obviously, that game's more well-known for Nick Ward being benched in that whole saga about him being in his doghouse, but that's been a tougher place for Michigan State.
That was that game, wasn't it? When the controversy started, what's going on with Nick Ward and Tom Izzo now? And he's benched, and, you know, he wasn't cheering on the sideline and whatnot. So we'll see what happens. MSU and Rutgers, we'll have more on that game tomorrow. What I want to do is hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with one of my favorite guys here in the area to have on the show. He's a dear friend of Current Sports, and you talk about a basketball mind. Steve Fenimore, head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. Steve will join us here live on Current Sports in just a moment. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up conversation on the Michigan men's basketball team, picking up a win in the Big Ten ACC Challenge over Roy Williams and the North Carolina Tar Heels. I want to get your thoughts on who will have the better year in college hoops. Will it be the Michigan Wolverines or will it be Michigan State? I think that, you know, and Tom Izzo made this point after yesterday's practice when he was made available to the media yesterday. He believes this will be one of the most entertaining and one of the toughest years in Big Ten men's college hoops. And it's hard not to agree with him. I think that it's probably going to remind a lot of folks a little bit of the college football year in the Big Ten. Just a lot of teams beating up on each other. I think more so in Big Ten college basketball, you have a lot more parity. I think from top to bottom, without a doubt. Because Rutgers, even though Rutgers did give Michigan State a scare on the gridiron on Saturday, Rutgers, their basketball team is much better than the football program, without a doubt. That's pretty evident, right? But, you know, it's going to be a fun year, I think, because there are a lot of teams out there in the Big Ten, like Wisconsin, Purdue, you know, Michigan State. I really believe that on any given night, I mean, any of these teams can be beaten. So we'll see what happens. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What I want to do right now is welcome our guest for today's Current Sports. He is one of my favorite guys to have on the show. It is always fun picking his brain when it comes to the world of hoops. You know, he's a basketball savant through and through, folks. And he is the head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. My man, 50 grand, Steve Finnemore. You are on Current Sports. Steve, how you doing?
Al Martin, my brother. I'm doing great, man. Hey, listen, man, you're one of my favorite guys, too. So it goes both ways, brother.
Without a doubt. And, you know, Steve, I want to start here because, you know, I always see you on my Instagram timeline and I always see you on Twitter. And what I love about your page, especially on IG, is that you'll post, you know, a video of a play you saw either in college hoops or the pros. I saw you post the other day, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and yep. you posted a video of Giannis in the post. He gets the feed and he dishes it out, and your caption was something like, you know, every time I watch Giannis, you know, I'm constantly impressed by him. I learned something new about his game. The other night, well, I believe it was yesterday, I mean, you were watching the North Carolina and Michigan men's basketball game, and you posted another clip of that game. But, Steve, yep. I'm curious, man, how much hoops do you watch? Because I don't think there's any other guy out there that watches as much basketball, at least that I know, than you.
Well, thank you so much, Al. For people who know me, I'm a basketball junkie. I mean, I really, really love the game. I'm 54 years old, Al, and ever since I was 6 years old, I've been a big basketball fan. And my wife and my daughter, obviously, the most important people in my life, but basketball, Al, is definitely my passion. And I think you're right. I don't think, and it's no disrespect to anyone else, but I don't think anybody watches more basketball, reads more. I read about 25 stories a day starting at 5:30 in the morning. And I like posting those videos, Al, which, by the way, thanks for the compliment. I like posting them for one reason. I want the players out there who follow me, I want them to see the video clips that I post. If you notice, I don't post slam dunks and things like that. Mm-hmm. I post the little things like Giannis in the post passing it out. And a couple of days ago, I posted a video clip, Xavier Tillman knocking the ball away from a player and diving after it at half court and throwing it to a teammate. So I try to take clips out of those really good, important things that helps you become a better player.
Definitely. And you're always hashtagging play the right way, right? Because that's what it's all about.
Play the right way.
If you want to win, you got to play the right way. Wasn't that Larry Brown's slogan when he coached basketball? Is that right, Steve?
Yes, Larry Brown, that's the first time I ever heard it, and I believe it was 2004 when he was with the Pistons, and then he just, I think he got it from an old Knicks coach, Red Holzman, who used to coach in the 70s. Red Holzman used to talk about hit the open man, share the ball, things like that. So I think Larry Brown, I tell you what, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it really isn't. It's a lesson. You know, there is a... And like Spike Lee had that great movie in the 80s, Do the Right Thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Al, believe it or not, and this is Captain Obvious here, but there is a right way and a wrong way to do things. And I feel I have so much, I feel I have a PhD in basketball, so I definitely know there's a right way and a wrong way to play the game.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, with the Spike Lee reference, you know, I can't have you on, Steve, without also mentioning that you are from my favorite city. I love New York City, man. You know, New York is great. You know, I was there not too long ago, actually visiting. My sister also lives there now. It's an awesome city filled with so much culture, and a lot of people believe, and I'm pretty sure you fall in this category, Steve, that New York is the mecca of basketball. What makes it the mecca of basketball, and what was it like for you falling in love with the game out in NYC?
Well, Al, I have to be honest, and I know you people like to talk about it. They like to visit there. They like the food. They like the 24/7 nightlife. It's changed. It's not the Brooklyn or the New York City from back in the day. And I never want to sound like the old man who says, "Get off my lawn, kids." You know, I really don't believe in that old school, new school thing. Mm-hmm. I really think because in every borough, there's five boroughs in New York City. And in the 60s and the 70s and even the 80s, you can find a basketball game anywhere in the outdoors. It didn't matter if it was the wintertime or the summer. You can find the game anywhere. And the city produced really, really good players. And I think that's carried over for over the years. And now here we are in 2018. The city doesn't produce the players it used to produce. But I tell you what, you can definitely play somewhere. And I'm very disappointed in the New York Knicks because they've had they haven't had any success for many, many years. So I think New York sports fans want to see the Knicks do well and even the Brooklyn Nets.
And you know what, to that point, Steve, you know, when discussing how it's really hard to find a pickup game nowadays, and I saw you also go on this kind of promotional tour during last summer here in the Lansing area promoting – you know, blacktop hoops, you know, finding a pickup game just outdoors. And you were kind of highlighting on your social media pages, you know, where you could get a good run at and some really cool locations here in the Lansing area where you can get up some shots and maybe get a pickup game going. But that was a big part of my childhood, Steve, you know, running on the blacktop. Catching a pickup game. That's how I became better as a player, you know, especially playing with older guys and you learn toughness playing out on the blacktop. Why is pickup hoops outdoors? Why is it dying today, Steve?
Well, I'll tell you, Al, people ask me all the time, have the kids changed from when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s? You know, what's different with these kids today? And I say, let me tell you something. The kids haven't changed, okay? It's the people and the things around them that have changed. And I'm talking about the parents. I'm talking about the gadgets that they have now, you know, the iPads, the video games. I mean, why go to Valley Court down in East Lansing and get up 1,000 shots in the middle of November or October when you can go home in your warm house, sit on your couch with a 50-inch color TV and play the NBA games, the 2K, whatever you guys call it, the video games.
Right.
You know, and feel like you're, you know, LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony. So there's a choice that these kids have, Al, and they're not making those choices to become a better basketball player.
Well, I tell you what, you have you're in a unique position and have been for a while, Steve, to affect that change and to shift that mindset when it comes to young basketball players. Again, you were the former head coach at East Lansing High School for the boys basketball program there, and now you're with Lansing Sexton. What do you try to implement when it comes to the kids that you coach, and also when it comes to the various basketball camps that you're involved with as well, Steve? What do you try to implement in order to show kids that, hey, man, sitting on the couch and you know, playing the Xbox or PS4 2K is cool, but getting out there and playing the game, nothing beats that. What do you try to do to try and light that fire?
here's the one thing, Al. People today, the kids, their time management is so out of whack right now. There's nobody teaching these kids time management. And the one thing I do have to say, Al, I'm so grateful to the Lansing School District for hiring me at Lansing Sexton, because I'm in the city now. I'm working with great people, the administration, our principal, Dan Bogan, the former football coach. He works in the building. He's great. And these kids, Al, I'll tell you what, they need us adults behind them. They really, really do. I think a lot of people take the path of least resistance. And they rather just be on their phones. They rather be on the video games. So I come in, okay, with a lot of victories that I won at East Lansing. So I have some equity that I've built up. You know, everyone, guys on my team ask me now, what was it like coaching Brandon Johns? And look, we did have good players at East Lansing, but we had to work with them every day. We had to teach them how to play offense, how to play defense. And the mindset, like you talked about, Al, I tell kids every single day, I said, this is bigger than basketball. We were teaching life lessons the other night when we went to DeWitt about using public restrooms and how to behave in there and what to do, A, B, and C. So we're really trying to tell them, if you take care of these little things, it'll make your life a lot better, especially going to class and doing the schoolwork and treating people with respect.
That's very true. Great message there, Steve. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Steve Finnemore, head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. You know, I want to double back and get to Brandon Johns in just a moment, yep. Steve, but I want to talk about, you know, the first game that you all had on the road this past Tuesday, the season opener at DeWitt. It was a 74-45 final on the losing end of things. But, Steve, you know, your journey now to Lansing Sexton, what has this journey been like for you, and what's the toughest aspect to coming into a new program and trying to win?
It's been wonderful. It's been the greatest move I've ever made. It used to my greatest move that I ever made, Alan, coaching, was going from the Portland head coach four to an assistant coaching position at a Division I school, St. Peter's. So I spent a year there. I thought that was the best move I ever made until this past June when I interviewed at Lansing Sexton and they hired me to become their basketball coach. So this is what it's been like. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win. That's what we're all about. Win, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. To me, Al, the wins and losses do not matter anymore. All I care about is improvement, daily improvement. Now, here I go again. People are going to be, wow, he's throwing out these cliches. But, Al, I've learned success is based on improvement. It doesn't matter how many games you win anymore. It really doesn't, because the bottom line in basketball, especially, if a kid is unhappy with his playing time and a parent is unhappy with their playing time, you know, I was 67-4 my last 3 years at East Lansing, and I still got a lot of heat from parents and a couple of players. So we couldn't have won anymore except win every game. So at Sexton, we're trying to teach them about the process. Alabama does it, and I'm trying to teach these kids accountability, commitment, respect, things of that nature.
And you know, with this position at Lansing Sexton now, Steve, and you mentioned your incredible record before you left East Lansing High School, and the dynamic between parents and how they may feel that their son may need more playing time and them coming to you and airing out that grievance. I mean, what did you learn through that process when dealing with parents that, you know, maybe you change now at Lansing Sexton, or is it something that's really out of your control? You just got to go with the flow.
You know, it's a difficult question, but it's a great question. And if you spend some time on social media or if you read some stories from around the internet, it's gotten worse. And it's getting really bad. But if you have a strong administration like we have in the Lansing School District, our superintendent and our deputy superintendent are incredible people. They know how to handle these things, and they're behind me 100%. My athletic director, Chris Henderson, he wrestled for Sexton, okay? He coaches the wrestling team. He coaches the golf team. He knows what it's like. He's a parent. Dan Bogan, our dean of students at Sexton, was the football coach there. My assistant coach, Dominic Brown, played football and basketball for Sexton. So all these people who you need as a head coach behind you are behind me 100%. So I really feel real. Al, I go to practice every day. You mentioned our loss the other night. Al, last night out of 12 practices so far, we had our best, most spirited practice last night in the gym.
That is awesome. And that's the kind of response that you want, especially so early in the year. You don't want to let the season opener get you that down, right, Steve?
Right. We got 19 more games, man. It's a long season.
That is so true. So for those who, again, weren't able to get out to DeWitt and check out your team, what kind of team do you have? And can you give us a few names that may turn a few heads this year?
Absolutely, Al. The thing we got is we have a lot of inexperience. We have a young team. We have a team that needs to raise their IQ in terms of basketball, but we work on it every day. Last night we were working on defensive switching. We were working on communication. We were working on closing out on shooters. And it's stuff that we've always worked on at East Lansing. I had tremendous, tremendous assistant coaches at East Lansing, where I had a guy by the name of Sean McKinney who worked on defense every day with our players. Now, will it roll over to the players? Will they execute in the games? It's on them too. But we have a very small team, Al. We really don't have any big guys. We have a couple of power forwards, but we're mostly a guard-orientated team. Probably one of my better players is a gentleman by the name of Jackson Barnes, who is the quarterback for our football team. He's a senior. And then we have two good guards in Emmanuel Jones and Cartier Gordon. So I'm really excited now. We have 3 to 4 good pieces, and we're trying to fit everyone else in. The one thing we do play, and I got a great compliment the other night, Al, we play really hard, and the person said your players listen to you. Because in those huddles, Al, when you're down 25, you want all sets of eyes on you while you're talking. And the athletic director at DeWitt said, hey, I saw you teaching your guys out there. So the arrow's pointing up at Lansing Sexton, Al.
That is awesome stuff. And again, I believe, Steve, you guys will play on the road this Friday at Grand Rapids, Ottawa Hills. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know what happened? We had a couple of spots we had to fill up. You know, we had to straighten out our schedule. But I talked to my AD about it, and it's okay. We'll make the trip. But, Al, what I like about non-conference games, I like them to be local. So then you get fans from both schools. It's going to be hard for our fans and even families to travel all the way to Grand Rapids to play Ottawa Hills. So,
yeah.
Like when I was at East Lansing, you know, we would play Hazlitt, we would play Williamson, play DeWitt. So you have a good fan base from both schools at the local non-conference game. Al, I don't think there's any reason to travel a far distance to play a high school non-conference game.
Preach on. I'm totally with you there, Steve. All right, and as we come up to the close of the hour, Steve, I wanted to mention Brandon Johns, because Brandon, yep, seeing him, especially, you know, I was watching last night, and I know you were, as Michigan took on North Carolina at the Chrysler Center, Brandon looks so happy, and I know he is so just ecstatic about the decision that he made to play for what I believe to be one of the best basketball minds in the nation under John Beilein. I mean, have you talked with Brandon since he's been with the program, and what's his mindset coming into his first year?
You know, I haven't during the season. I sent him a text before the season, wished him luck. I bumped into him in Starbucks right before the season, and we talked for a few minutes. The one thing about Brandon, I don't know if you noticed this, but Beilein sent him to the scorer's table last night with a minute and change left, and he was sitting there, and there was no whistle. But then Beilein called him back to the bench. But you know what? It's a process for him. He's playing behind some really, really talented and tough players. You got to be in Beilein's system, and you got to learn all the principles and the concepts. Brandon's going to pick it up. But like I said earlier, Al, everybody wants instant gratification, instant success. If Brandon stays patient, stays mentally tough, and comes to work every day, he's going to have a great career for John Beilein.
Yeah, and he comes from a great basketball history under your leadership at East Lansing High School. Well, Steve, it is always a pleasure talking with you. We'll definitely check in throughout the year as your Lansing Sexton Big Reds continue to just, as you said, play the right way and just get better. That's the main goal other than the wins and losses. Right, Steve?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Al, the one thing I'm so excited about every day, when I'm out in the public, Starbucks, Meijer, Sparty's, eating some breakfast, I have people come up to me who went there back in the 60s, the 70s. I mean, Graham Couch is a Sexton grad, so
yeah,
it's great when people come up to me, and I don't know who some of them are, and they say, hey, good luck at Sexton. It's my alma mater. I used to play there. I played on the softball team, whatever it is. Sexton Big Reds have a large, large alumni base and fan base, and I'm super excited, Al.
Definitely. And I'm excited to see what happens throughout the year for you, Steve. We're wishing you all the luck in the world, my man. We'll have you back on soon.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you and your staff, Al.
You too, Steve. Thank you so much, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, the great Steve Finnemore, head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. And as we come up now, wow, I tell you, time flies when you're having fun, Alec. Just 90 seconds left. Again, I want to give a big thanks to Steve Finnemore, Justin Frommer doing an outstanding job helping produce the show today, as well as Alec Rio behind the glass. I'm just going to say one thing, baby. I'm going to come in this studio tomorrow, Alec, with the biggest smile on my face. Right, it's going to be a party on tomorrow's Current Sports, Justin. I am going to be ecstatic because I will be on my couch tonight at around 8 p.m. with my popcorn and my favorite beverage, watching my Cowboys beat the Saints tonight. Right, Alec?
You're sounding a little bit like Ray right now. I'm not going to lie. You sound a little bit like Ray right now.
Hey, man. Beat the bullies. Tonight, the bullies are the Saints.
Beat the Saints and Drew Brees.
Okay. I can't wait for tonight. I'm ecstatic. All right, folks. Man, I can't believe tomorrow's Friday as well. You definitely want to tune in to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We will talk about championship weekend, the numerous conference championship games in the world of college football. We'll also preview the Michigan State and Rutgers basketball game leading into the weekend. And we'll also, I want to give some love to the MSU women's basketball team as well, because they also, coming off the win against Virginia last night, they will also play on Sunday at the Breslin, all right? So going to be a loaded Friday show. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.